and welcome to episode number 30 of the Functional Nerds. My name is Patrick Hester, and I approve of this message. Go ahead, John.
Okay. You're really keeping those intros short, what Lou told us to. But anyway, this is John Anilio. I write songs about science fiction and fantasy. You can get a lot of my stuff for as little as free over at johnanilio.bandcamp.com, and you can follow me at twitter.com/johnanilio.
I'm also poking fun at all the thousands of political ads running on television.
Yeah, that's a Denver thing, because I just don't watch TV over here, because I don't really see them in New Jersey.
You happen to see the tweet? They actually have a commercial in between the political commercials now that says we're taking a break from the political commercials.
Wow, interesting. No, I haven't seen any of that.
They play a political commercial, then they play another one, then they play a commercial that's like a field scene, like they're showing like flowers in the field, and then there's a countdown clock going from 30 seconds down, and it says a break from political ads. And then when that's done, they go to more political ads.
Sweet. Cool. Anywho, today,
I imagine as you can tell.
Yeah. Well, tonight we are actually joined by two guests, and that is James Gates and Erica Holt. Say hello.
Hello.
once.
Yeah, Erica and James are here to talk about would we call it an anthology? Would that be correct? The correct
yes.
Terminology about their new anthology that they are the editors of, and that is the Rigor Immortis, and about many other things as well. But that's you know the big thing that we're here for, and I wanted to get them on before Halloween because I felt like it's a timely release, and you know we should definitely talk about it pre Halloween. And this episode will probably air just a week or so before Halloween, so. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having us.
And that's James speaking.
Yes. And
this is Erica speaking.
There you go.
Okay, great. So why don't you start, and why don't you tell us a little bit about the Rigor Immortis anthology and what people, you know, sell it.
What's your pitch?
Yeah.
Well, what really started it out was that there was this conversation on Twitter about how zombies are overdone now and they're moving on out. And it was Paul Jessup, I believe, and one of our contributors, Michael Phillips. And I had the misfortune of making a joke about, you know, what? No hot, sexy zombie erotica. First thing I know, oh, why don't you do an anthology of that? So I just kind of put it out there saying, hey, you know, if you guys have anything you'd like to submit for this, go ahead. We ended up with a collection of about 30 stories of an absolutely phenomenal range from horror to romance, absolute raunch to some really sweet love stories. And I think the biggest strength of this collection is that it's short pieces of what could be an extremely difficult subject, and that it's handled in a lot of different ways, and it really brings different perspectives to what at first could seem like a one-note subject. It is about 30 pieces ranging from, I think our shortest one is a 150-word poem to a 4,000-word story at the very end. And it is zombies, and it is romance and erotica.
And there's actually quite a bit of humor in there as well,
yes.
Which was nice to see. I mean, in some ways, I think we sort of expected that maybe all of the stuff we got in would be sort of campy humor given the subject. Surprisingly, most of it wasn't. But there's actually a number of pieces in here that are just hysterical. So I think really any fan of zombie stories will find stories in here that they love.
Great. Now, can you maybe give us a rundown of some of the authors that are included in this anthology?
Sure. A few of the names you might recognize. There's Jennifer Brozek, who is an award-winning writer and anthologist. She's an editor at Apex. We also have Kaylin Fire, who is an editor at Good. Edward Morris has been nominated for a couple of major awards, a couple of the horror writing awards, so he has a story in here. We have a number of authors who have been published in some of the top publications like Fantasy Magazine, Bull Spec, those Strange Horizons, those sorts of publications. And then as well, we have a number of of new authors or newer authors who've either this is their first published story or it's, you know, they've only had a couple of things published, and they are absolutely fantastic pieces. I mean, they fit right in with the pieces that, you know, by more established authors. So it's really nice to actually be able to have a nice mixture of, you know, more established authors and even brand new authors who are just thrilled to have something published.
Well, that seems to always be a good mix, or it seems to be something that you're seeing more of these days. We had Neil Clark of Clark's World on the show last week.
I listened to that, actually.
That was
a good episode, wasn't it?
Yes, really
Neil
good.
Neil has a lot of great things to say, and you know, he was kind of saying the same thing where, you know, Clark's World is sort of a mix of established authors, and, you know, keeping the slush pile for him is very important. You know, to sort of find those new authors. And I'm also thinking of somebody like John Joseph Adams. When you look at his anthologies, which have been very successful, it is a mix of big, big name authors like Stephen King and George R.R. Martin, and, you know, more up and coming authors, lesser known authors. And I think, you know, that's such a good mix, because you get those names that will maybe draw in your crowd, but then you get those authors that are, you know, hungrier, you know, that are really, you know, out there, you know, working their butts off to try to get their stuff published. And I think that's just a good dynamic to have.
Well, you know, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I think that's actually a great point. And Jame and I have talked about this before, is that, you know, so far the promotion for Rigor Mortis has been going really well. And I think part of that is exactly the point you make, is that when you have newer authors, you know, they're very excited about the publication and they want to do everything they can to get their names out there. So I actually think in some ways, you know, they are your best promoters, because mm-hmm. they are, you know, they have a real incentive to get out and promote. And I mean, the reality is too, when you're working with a small press, a very small press in this case, you know, you're not going to be able to attract, you know, Stephen King's and such to your anthology, especially as first-time anthologists. So, you know, I mean, we're really lucky with all the authors that we got and all the talented newcomers that we got.
I was just gonna say, John, you were talking about you know, hungry authors and that kind of stuff. I heard an interview. I was driving a lot in the past couple of days, and I was not driving my car, so I was kind of stuck with AM radio for the most part. And I heard an interview with Vince Flynn. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. He's more mainstream. He writes a lot of like political thrillers and this kind of stuff. And he's got a new book out called American Assassin. And it's the spy stuff. It's Clancy kind of stuff, you know. And he's tomorrow they're probably going to announce that he's, you know, like number one in the New York Times bestseller list. And the interviewer asked him, you know, what are you doing out promoting your book? Because you have like a really brutal, grueling 25 or 30 city tour that you're doing to promote your book. You know, you're like an A-list author. Why are you doing that? And he said, well, because times are tough. And I'm thinking, gosh, if it's tough for him, you know, I feel bad for those, like you said, the hungry authors. You know, they must be really hating life.
Yeah, well, I think Rigor Mortis came to my attention because quite a few of the people, including Jame, but quite a few of the other authors were just people that I've just been kind of friends with on Twitter that I know are authors, but, you know, weren't super familiar with their work. And then all of a sudden you just start seeing, you know, that hashtag come up. And but I think it's so effective, it just in terms of, you know, rallying behind. And I think there is strength in numbers. And because, you know, you don't want to be just promoting your own crap all the time. But if you're 20 people or so that are kind of banded together, it really does sort of stoke the fire of the community, because then people like me who do not have a story in it, but just see that something's going on, you get that feeling like, something's going on here. And then, and then I wanted to have you guys on the show to talk about it. So now you mentioned that it's a small press. What is the press that is publishing this?
It's Absolute Express, which is an imprint of Hades Publications, which also has Edge and Tesseract.
So it's out of Canada. So Edge is Canada's largest independent science fiction and fantasy publisher. And instead of choosing to publish such a strange, quirky little niche book through Edge, Brian Hades, which has to be the best last name ever for a science fiction publisher.
That is his real last name.
He tells me, like, you know, he didn't change his name, but he decided to publish it through his print on demand imprint. So that's what Absolute Express is.
Now you can get the. Can you talk a little bit about the formats that you can get this in? Can you order like a physical copy from Amazon? Are there eBooks? Or can you tell us a little bit about that?
We have all of the above. We have the ebook was a little bit slower to come out due to some issues with Smashwords, but it's also available on Amazon. Right now it is the print on demand, so besides Amazon, really the only places that it is available in print is at a convention, which we're going to. We have a ton of conventions that we're going to be at, or at one of the author events. And that's another thing is we've got several of those coming up. Our authors have been absolutely wonderful about saying, oh, I want to do a local event. You know, can you help me set it up? Or we have the Southern California group that just kind of went, hey, let's do something. They're going to be signing and reading at Dark Delicacies in November on the 14th, I believe. So those are the places they're available. I really do recommend the print copy because we have an extensive amount of art inside from Galen Dara and Miranda Jean, who did just a ton of short notice black and white illustrations for us, and they are absolutely beautiful and they lend so much to the stories. And unfortunately, those don't really come through and get included in the ebook version.
Well, the cover is disturbingly cool.
Yes.
I was gonna say that should be a blurb for the book. You know, cool.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like, well, it's a zombie, but she's kind of hot.
Yep.
And that's funny.
That's Robert Paul Nixon, who actually. The publisher, Brian Hades, has been in contact with. We've had no contact at all with him. So that Brian has set that whole thing up. And apparently he's a fellow true artist, you know, lives in a loft in Detroit and only comes out at night or something from what Brian says. So he sounds like an interesting character.
And what's his name?
Robert Paul Nixon.
Huh. Well, it's a very cool cover. I mean, that catches your eye.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we loved it. We thought it was very just fitting, you know, fitting with the theme and the feel of the anthology. So we just loved it. I mean, we're really lucky to get one of his pieces because he's an established artist who's done, you know, album covers and, you know, a bunch of different things for various people. So we're pretty lucky to be working with him.
So this sounds a lot like it was a bit of a labor of love for you guys.
Very much so.
It really was. And, you know, just going back to what you were saying about the whole Twitter connection and the hashtag, you know, which I don't know, maybe annoys people by now because we used it so much. But part of the great thing about it was it really felt like a team project, you know, and I think writing can feel pretty lonely sometimes. And you really felt like you were part of a team because not only were people using the hashtag to promote, they were using the hashtag to discuss the writing process. So while they were writing their stories, you know, snickering over lines that they were coming up with and, you know, snickering over making Jame and I read some, you know, crazy stuff and things like that.
Well, they were having so much fun at our expense. One of them in particular, the one with the really long story, has been absolutely shameless about trying to give us as much trouble and get us as many gag reflexes as possible. He was disappointed that he didn't succeed.
And which story is that? Or do you not want to say?
Well, we have a couple of them, actually, now that I say that, that did that. We have the very last one, Annette Dupre's, which when you talk about the pulp and the zombie and everything, I mean, Erica and I read that, and originally a flash version of it had been sent in, and we're like, this is cool. A longer version was also included just as kind of a, I was writing this, you know, I'm going to keep going with it. We read the longer one and we requested some rewrites on it, but it just made us laugh so hard. And it was such a crazy, perfect, pulpy, disgusting story that we couldn't help it.
I say to people when every time I read that story, and I mean, I've, you know, been through the manuscript like about 15 times, but every time I read it still, I kind of squeal, giggle, and throw it in the air. Like, it is the perfect story to end on because it's just way over the top and really memorable. So
now let me ask you this about, you know, we were talking about the ebooks and the print versions, and how about audio versions? Because this is a small press, and I know anytime a book goes to print, you know, there's, and I'm no expert. In fact, I'm quite ignorant on the subject, but I know there's, you know, print rights and there's audio rights. And so is there going to be an audio version of the stories in this? Could you see yourselves possibly podcasting it as a group, or, you know, something like that? Do you see that happening?
We don't have any plans for that, but I think it would be extremely fun to either serialize it or to go ahead and produce it as an audiobook. We do have a contract that would allow us to do that. Right now, it's just more kind of catching our breath after the original release.
Sure. Yeah, because I think short stories really work in the audio format. And obviously,
yeah,
stuff like...
Yeah, I get it.
I keep bugging Patrick to podcast this stuff. I'm like, you have the gear.
What he doesn't know is, you know, it's if you're working on a 3.5 minute song and you flub something, you just re-record it. Mm-hmm. When you're working on, you know, 5,000 words, mm-hmm. it's a little bit harder.
Yeah, but you just yep. record one word at a time and then you splice it all together. That's what I do. I can't actually play or sing.
And suddenly I sound like a speak and say.
Exactly. But I think it really works. And obviously things like Escape Pod and Clark's World, you know, these have been very successful. I think people like consuming, particularly it would seem, you know, genre fiction, genre short stories in this way. So I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen a whole lot of the anthologies, the audiobooks of them. But I think it's something, especially if you guys retain the rights to it, I think it's something that, you know, why not put it out there that way as well? I mean, it's only going to get more people interested in what you have.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And I mean, as James said, there's lots of art in there too. So, I mean, it's something that, you know, you may hear a few stories and decide you have to pick up the copy because you want to see all the great art to go along with the story. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's a fantastic idea.
Now, you said you got a lot of submissions when you put this out there. Did you get more than you needed to put together a single anthology?
Way more. We got, I think the final tally was around 200 submissions.
Wow.
Which really, I mean, compared to an anthology by, say, John Joseph Adams, it is fairly a small number. But given the amount of time, I mean, the guidelines went live in June, I believe, June 1st. And we closed submissions by August. We got
actually by July 15th.
Or by July, that's right. I've lost track of time by now. and we got it onto Duotrope, I think, 3 weeks before we closed the missions or something like that. So for such a short amount of time and such an unusual topic, we just were astounded at the number and the quality of submissions. We had the hardest time going through there. And, I mean, we spent so much time on Skype just going, but I like the story. I like this about this story. No, we have to keep this one.
I was actually really surprised that, you know, I'd never dealt with a slush pile before, and I was actually surprised that there wasn't any crap in there, you know, like there wasn't anything that I'd look at and say, wow, this is obviously unpublishable. And, you know, you hear these horror stories from other editors, but there, you know, the quality of the submissions was actually really high. You know, I mean, stories were rejected for other reasons, but, you know, they were all competently written, which was a nice surprise.
I was just going to follow that up with, if you had enough, does that mean are you looking at a volume two?
Yes. We have lots of projects planned for the future, but one of them is potentially a sequel to this and or another Flash genre anthology next year because the authors on Twitter are demanding it. So.
You should get Simon Pegg involved.
Okay.
He's the guy that did Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, yeah.
And see, I thought that was I know it didn't do very well, but I thought that that was a clever and different take on zombies.
I'm just thinking of how much fun I've already had walking up to people and going, zombie erotica, and having them give me these flux plates. What? Where are you coming from?
Yes, Jame is known as the zombie sex lady.
Oh, I'll have you know. Rita and Christy Yant and, well, actually everyone that was there was introducing me as, this is Jame, the zombie erotica lady.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you don't want to have it in your notes. So when Patrick puts the podcast out, you know, we can have and guest Erica Holt and Jame Zombie Sex Girl Gates. Can we put that? Is that all right?
Totally. I think that would be great.
Yeah. Well, I bet you that will be it'll be one of our more downloaded episodes. It's like so go out the Mike Resnick episode and the zombie sex lady episode. All right, yeah, there we go. Those are our two highest downloaded episodes.
Erica forgets threats I've made against her in the past.
Yes. See, I'm doing my best to put this zombie sex lady thing on her and keep out of it.
smart plan, I think. Smart plan.
Yeah. Yeah, she probably calls you up in the middle of the night and says, hey, brains.
No, I just put it on Twitter after I wait until she goes to bed and, you know, it's like, good night, everyone. And 10 minutes later, Erica, the zombie sex queen, something like that.
Now, you know, it is cool and interesting that you guys have been able to use Twitter to gain awareness of the project. I think that is an awesome use of Twitter. And I think more authors need to embrace Twitter to push their own stuff out there.
I definitely agree. Yeah.
Sorry, well, I'm sorry, Eric. I believe you were about to say something.
Oh yeah, no, I agree 100%. And I'm part of a local writing group here in Calgary, science fiction fantasy writing group, and I've been just trying so hard to encourage all of them to get on Twitter. I just got on at Easter, and it's been amazing to me, just the connections, you know, the friendships that I've made in that time. I mean, Jame and I have never actually met in person. You know, we met on Twitter. We've talked via Skype. We're going to meet for the first time at the World Fantasy Convention. But, I mean, we came together and, you know, met and edited an anthology simply through meeting on Twitter. Like, I think it's a fantastic resource for finding opportunities and a whole support system and network of people out there, you know, that are, you wouldn't otherwise get a chance to meet, or you'd have to wait to until a convention.
Absolutely. Yeah. Ours is a similar story.
Ours is the exact same story. Because, like, Patrick, this is 30 episodes into this podcast. Patrick and I have never met in person, and we will meet for the first time at World Fantasy, where we'll be roommates. So,
wow.
We'll see if there's any podcast episodes after that.
I was going to say, yeah, exactly. So, like, 32 will be our last. No, and then, I mean, Bernardo's coming too. And mm-hmm. He told me just the other night, he's like, you know, I don't do this. I don't go, I don't travel places. He says, I'm just having so much fun and, you know, with you guys and doing the podcast stuff. He says, I'm gonna go too.
Yeah,
it's because of Twitter.
And I think the conventions kind of go hand in hand, because my first convention that I went to was PhilCon last year. So I've gone to three so far, and World Fantasy will be my fourth. And I'd never, even going to PhilCon, that was I only went for like a day just to sort of check it out and see what it was like. And just after going there, going to some of these conventions and just sort of meeting some of the people that you're talking to online, it then really strengthens your connection, because now all of a sudden you're like, hey, you're a real person. Like, you're not just someone that I'm talking to. And it's weird, but it's just sort of the way the world is working these days, I think, you know, and especially within I think as a creative person, I think it's, as you said, it's a great opportunity. Patrick and I started this going because we were both doing separate podcasts. We were doing solo podcasts, and my feeling was that no one really likes solo podcasts. I mean, there are a couple out there that I'm sure are very successful, but I didn't like doing mine as a solo, and I just felt like doing one, and I did it. And I was listening to Patrick's too, and I just said, like, we should just do this together.
And meanwhile, I'm thinking, you know, I was like, dang, I need a straight man.
Yeah. Well, that's... And I need someone to do all the editing, because I didn't want to do that anymore. So it worked out perfect.
Hey, you bet.
but it's true. I mean, I'm so delighted to hear your story is so similar to ours. And I imagine if you poll a lot of the people on Twitter about you know, people that writing partners or, you know, podcasting partners or whatever the case may be. I think it's not an unusual story these days anymore. I think a lot of people sort of, you know, hook up through Twitter and Facebook and what have you. And
now the hooking up through Twitter is a whole other topic.
Poor choice of words.
I was going to make the same comment. Hey, we're coming at this from a erotica perspective, remember. Mm-hmm. Our mind's in the gutter constantly.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Now, this is going to be kind of funny because it's sort of on this line. I once published a Star Trek novella in a fanzine. I was probably like 16 years old, and it was one of those deals where you don't get anything. You have to order one, just like everybody else. And so I ordered a couple. And I get it, and I flip to my story, and I read through it, and I'm like, oh, this is really cool. And then I started looking at the other stories in this thing, and I had never really been exposed to Star Trek erotica before. And Spock was doing stuff.
Nice.
And I was going, whoa, wait a minute. That's way more than I wanted to know about Spock and Ponfar.
Some of the fan stuff gets just so creative. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like the first thing they think of is, oh, I really love these characters. How can I make them have sex?
Pretty much. Going back to the Twitter thing, I really think that it is one of the more influential tools that we have right now, especially from the PR standpoint, well, the PR and the organizational standpoint of things. I do PR for Raw Dog Screaming Press as well. And I've also recently been brought on to do PR for a local entertainment group. And one of the things for both of those is that neither of them had Twitter accounts. The local one still doesn't. The owner of the local thing is like, I hate Twitter. He uses Facebook. Okay, you know, it's useful. But the thing about Twitter that I've noticed is that it kind of has that viral thing. It's extremely easy to share. It's very fast. You don't necessarily check Facebook to see who's posted on your wall. You do check Twitter because it's so simple and so fast, and things spread like wildfire.
Yep.
You know, well, Amanda Palmer has done a huge job of promoting herself through Twitter. And I think that's really been one of the big success stories and something more people could utilize.
And it helps being attached to Neil Gaiman.
Yes, well, that does help a lot.
Just a little bit. You know, it's like if Felicia Day suddenly started talking about me.
Yep.
I got nothing more. I was just hoping that would happen. no, I'm a marketing guy. I'm a marketing director, and you know, I've had bosses, you know, or trying to get them to use Twitter, and they're like, "No, I don't get it. I don't understand it."
I think until you get
a child.
Yeah, I think until you have until you're following quite a few people, and you have a significant number of people following you, it is kind of hard to get Twitter. You know, so I can understand that in the beginning, but I think what I get out of it most is just, you know, I read it in one of these sort of internet books that I've read in the past year, and talks about ambient awareness. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with that term, but it just means that, you know, you just sort of check in, especially with Twitter, especially if you're following a lot of people like I am. A lot of times I may not feel like posting a whole lot, but I'll just sort of check the stream, you know, just sort of dip in. I mean, it used to be where I would like go back and try to read everybody's thing from the day, but now I follow so many people that's impossible. So it's just like, all right, I have 5 minutes here, 10 minutes. I'm going to sort of dip into the stream, see what's going on, if anything. And sometimes I just read a little bit and that's it. Sometimes I'll sort of, you know, reply back to people just if, you know. And it's you know, really what would be considered kind of mundane things. You know, it could be something where someone just will mention like, oh, I'm listening to this album. And it might be an album that I really like. And I had no idea that this person liked this artist. And now all of a sudden it's like, I love that album. And now all of a sudden I, myself and this person have a connection that we didn't know we had. Yep. And it's sort of all these... It's another, I have all these like nonfiction books that I've read and have all these different terminologies going on, but it's like the strength of weak ties, you know, these little connections, these little links that you have. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you have all these little weak ties with a bunch of different people. Now you have sort of a network or a tribe of people that you sort of interact with, and you're just It's I don't know. I think it's just really a good way to go about sort of just being in the world. I mean, even if you get, you know, throw away the promotional part of it, mm-hmm. it's like, doesn't it feel better to be sort of interacting with people than not? And I think I was going to say, and I think as creative people, we tend to sort of isolate ourselves a lot of times. Yeah. So I think it's really useful in that way.
Well, and you have the artists and the authors who are embracing it, and then you have the ones who, again, just they don't get it and they don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Lou Anders, he just doesn't get it. You can't get the guy to ever do anything on Twitter. It's terrible. No, it amazes me that you have someone like all the tools available to you now. You've got Mike Resnick he's got his own podcast on publishing, where he talks about the publishing world. Older guy, you know, technology not his forte, I don't think, you know, but I mean, he's getting into it. He's using those tools. You've got the younger guys like Blake Charlton, what's your buddy, Peter Brett.
Mm-hmm.
These are, you know, folks who are using Twitter and they're using it to communicate, and it's instant, you know, and they build relationships like you're talking about. So when you have something like this, anthology it is a niche. And you're going to be looking at it like, you know, how are you going to promote this? Well, Twitter's perfect mm-hmm. because it's going to reach out to all these different people, and each one of the authors gets to go out and promote their own thing. And then everybody kind of, you know, working independently, they're also working together to promote the whole, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Which is awesome for you guys. Mm-hmm. And for Volume 2 and Volume 3 and Volume 4.
Oh, don't even suggest that. We will have people. That's one thing we've noticed about Twitter that isn't always necessarily good for our health. People meet and they plot, and then they go, you should do this.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times I have innocently logged into Twitter and started reading my stream and stopped and done a double take and gone, oh, hell.
So that brings us to our next question. When is Zombies in Space coming out?
Never. not from us.
A very, very long time from now.
How about elves?
No zombie elves. We do have another project on the go right now, though. It's our next anthology we're working on is going to be speculative fiction set in the 1920s. So if you look at dragoninkhouse.com, we have the guidelines posted there. And the submissions will be they're open now. Submissions will be closing December 20th. So that's kind of what's keeping us busy at the moment. And then we're planning a Sword and Sorcery anthology early in the new year. And as I mentioned before, probably another flash genre erotica anthology sometime in the spring.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, can you guys, you mentioned that, you know, because it seems like kind of we're getting to the wrapping up point, but so you guys are both going to be at World Fantasy. Are you going to be doing any sort of, and if you're not, or if you are and you don't want to release to the public, that's fine too. Are you going to be doing any sort of release party for it or anything like that?
We have the, Edge Books has their big party and everything, reading signings. Saturday afternoon starts at 4:00, goes to 6:00 for the serious grown-up official part of things, and then after that, it's the party side of things. So that's pretty much going to be our big theme there. One of the things with World Fantasy is they aren't particularly loving of anthologies, so we weren't quite able to get as much as we would like to.
They don't like podcasters either.
Yeah, there's some debate as to what they do like, but. that's another dead horse that I will not beat right now. But anyways, so that's what we're planning on right now. We kind of
and
already
that's open for everybody to come to. So for anyone who might be listening who is coming to World Fantasy, anybody can drop into the Edge Book launch party and the after party, I guess you'd say. So we don't know what suite it's in yet, but I assume it'll be on the party floor with all the other parties.
And cool. will you have printed copies that people can purchase?
Yes, and they, awesome. As well, Edge has a table in the dealer room, so there'll be tons of copies there as well.
Nice. And will authors be available to sign those?
Yes. We have quite a few of our authors there as well, and they will be walking around with pens in their hands. super glued, probably.
Now let me I'm gonna make a deal with you with Eric and James right now. You may or may not be aware of this, but one of your authors, he goes by RS Devin on Twitter. Yeah. How do you pronounce his name? His middle name, is it Schuyler?
Schuyler.
Okay, so it's R. Schuyler Devin. Okay. So Schuyler Devin is a musician and a songwriter as well as a writer, and he had actually approached me about helping him put together a song to help promote the anthology. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys were aware of this or not, but if you are, he mentioned it.
He mentioned that he had a big surprise he was working on. So I assume this is what he was talking about, which is awesome.
Well, here's the thing. He approached me with the idea, and I said, like, well, you know, if I have time, I'll try to help you out. And he sent me some lyrics that he had, and I took a look at them, and I reworked some of them and wrote sort of a chorus form or a little refrain, and he really liked it. And then he went back and wrote another verse and worked some around, and we were both going to work on the lyrics, and then neither one of us worked on it. So we have sort of a half-finished song out in the ether.
I thought you were going to sing something to us right now. I was getting all excited.
I don't have my guitar.
Very chipped right now.
Well, here's the deal that I will make with you. Because I have a lot of stuff on my plate, and I'm putting out other songs and things like that too. But Schuyler Devin, if you are listening to this, if you finish the lyrics, if you finish the verse lyrics in time for World Fantasy, I'm going to bring my guitar anyway. I'll gladly perform the song at your party if that's something you want. So putting that out there.
Finishes. That would be fantastic.
So get on.
And the gauntlet has been thrown down.
It's down. So I will gladly play that. And if you want to play a couple other songs too, I'd be more than happy to do such a thing for you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. Well, because I think it's kind of the half song we have, I think, is actually quite good. like I hate to see like good songs half finished that the world will never know. So I just want to see finished. So I'm hoping by throwing it out there, and I'll take a look at the lyrics again too. Maybe I can work something up too, but I'm throwing it out there. So there you go.
Considering I'm duly nagged as of now.
Okay. Yes.
And all I've got to bring is my semi-famous hat.
Well,
yes, I'm looking at a picture of it right now.
Okay, so why don't you guys, so obviously you're going to be at World Fantasy. What other conventions are you going to be at in the coming months?
Jay Faulkner kind of looks like Duff. I just noticed that.
Yeah, you know, he has like long, like really, really long red hair. Like there's another picture of him on Mercedes, one of the Shock Totem editors, she does that Masked Writers on Fridays or something on her blog. Mm-hmm. And there's a picture of him with a mask on, but his hair, like it's all tucked behind that bandana in his picture, but it's this long, super long red hair. And he also has multiple black belts. So I'd recommend being nice to him if you ever meet him.
Well, I think Duff is like one of the coolest guys around. So that wasn't like an insult.
Jay has been so much fun to work with, but that red hair was just like, wait, who is this?
Yeah, whoa.
All right, so back to John's original question. What else you got going?
Yeah, what conventions are you going to be at?
I'm going to be at OriCon in Portland, Oregon. And aside from World Fantasy, those are my two cons. I just got finished with one in Calgary this weekend. And then those are the two cons in the fall. And then we have a few cons planned for next year. So James can talk about those.
Well, I will personally be at FogCon. I'm working on a book release for Jeff Vandermeer's nonfiction book that's coming out then. So I'll be there, and I may have something set up by that point. I have to talk to the con chair still. We'll also be at HorrorCon next year, and, of course, World Fantasy and just WorldCon in general. I think
WorldCon in Reno, I think we're...
Yes.
We'll probably will be there.
Yeah, I can't think of
and,
anything...
And James else. Usually at, you know, things like ReaderCon and DragonCon.
Oh, yes,
well. At least she was this year.
I don't know if I'm going to be at DragonCon this next year, but I will be at ReaderCon. So that's what I have planned so far. And the local convention in May, Con Carolinas.
Great. Eric, why don't you throw out a website and Twitter handle and all that kind of stuff?
Okay, well, Jame and I's website, as I mentioned, is dragoninkhouse.com. I also have a shared blog on which I posted my very first blog post ever anywhere today, and that's inkpunks.com.
And it's on Twitter,
it's about editing an anthology. So, you know, if you have burning curiosity about that, there you go. And then on Twitter, I'm at Erica Holt, E-R-I-K-A-H-O-L-T.
Great. Jame, the same. Why don't you throw out a website and Twitter handle and all that?
The same one that Erica said, the dragoninkhouse.com. And then I personally, my own blog is sadly neglected. I do blog for Apex Books and for cross-genre science and my fiction. Those are really the only two things I have going right now on the blog front. And then my Twitter is Jame Gates, J-A-Y-M Gates. So that's about all I've got.
Great, great. This week, I still have my Stormtrooper for Halloween song out there. So if you have not downloaded that, go and pick that up. You can get it.
Did you hear the end of the episode?
I did. And thank you so much for doing that. That was really funny, Pat.
I always try to go out and grab whatever song you have going right now. But since you started doing the Bandcamp thing, I thought, well, that's kind of messed up because then I'm giving people his song for free.
That's okay. But I appreciate that, Patrick. That was very nice of you. But yeah, so that's at johnanilio.bandcamp.com, and you can pay what you want, even free. So go and do that. I
paid 99 cents.
You did.
People need to pay 99 cents. That's what you'd pay on iTunes.
Yeah.
Pay it on Bandcamp. Why the hell not?
You know, it's interesting, just as a little of a side about doing the pay what you want thing, and it's something that I think publishers could look into too, is what I've been surprised is most people will still take it for free. Some people will pay way more. Like, some people will pay you a lot. Like, someone paid $10 for that one song. They really liked it that much, you know. So it's an interesting model that I think could be explored more. But anyway, not to get too business about it.
I do have to say that Unicorn Pegasus Kitten is like one of my all-time favorite songs. I love that song, and I listen to it a number of times per week, and it makes me laugh every time.
Oh, thanks.
I should actually really probably pay you $10 for it.
Well, you know what? I don't have that one available to buy because that's before I started doing the Bandcamp stuff.
Okay, I'll buy another one.
That'll be up on an album, hopefully in the new year. And I'm not sure when this is. I know this episode will air next Tuesday, but I might have the post up by then. This past weekend, I opened two shows for Marion Call. Marion Call, if people are not familiar, is sort of a budding folk geek superstar. She's played Woodstock. She's actually going to be playing two upcoming Woodstocks, one in New York and one in Boston. And I had the opportunity to open two shows for her this past Saturday. And she was an absolutely delightful person. I got to spend some time with her and her guitarist, Scott, in between the gigs as well as at the gigs. And we had a great time this weekend. And Wired, I'm going to be writing up a post for Wired, just sort of, you know, sort of a day in the life of you know, people performing their songs to, you know, small but appreciative crowds. So so keep your eyes peeled for that. They'll probably have that up by around the time this airs. So, Patrick, what do you have going on?
There's a few things. Number one, I did want to point people, there is a donate button on functionalnerds.com now. So if you love the podcast and you want to help us pay for bandwidth and hosting and all that kind of stuff, click the donate button and we appreciate it. Our other podcast, SF Signal, what's his name? Liptak. Liptak and I sat down and talked to David J. Williams. So that's over on SF Signal. That was a kind of a good one. He's got that Autumn Rain trilogy.
Yes.
That was a good interview.
Yeah, I'm about halfway through it right now. I've been listening to it today, so it's cool.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then I got a post up over on SF Signal called The Immortal Doctor Who, because they've decided that he no longer has a regeneration limit. Mm-hmm. And that's gotten a few people commenting about that. And on atfmb.com, I have a post about the mountain pine beetle epidemic in Colorado. If you don't know what that is, go over to atfmb.com and click on it, because beetles are essentially killing all our trees. Mm-hmm. Mm. You can always follow me on twitter.com/ATFMB. I try to be entertaining. Yesterday, all day long, there was a baby picture of me up.
I saw that. Very good.
My mom said that was like 2 months after I was born.
Nice.
And it's just sad when those things are no longer blackmail material.
Yeah, Yeah, I just thought that that would be kind of a cute thing to throw up for the birthday, so that's what I did. Over on FunctionalNerds.com, obviously Scott Seeley, Mr. 8-Bit Dad, continues to do nerd news roundups for us, and we appreciate that. Other than that, I'm excited about World Fantasy.
Me too.
Yes.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Should be good.
I'll be traveling on the Thursday before, I guess, is when I'll be in on planes.
I'll be there Wednesday night.
Wow, yeah, you're getting there early.
She's beating us all.
Yeah. Dang, yeah, I'm getting in on Thursday and then flying out on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, very good. Ladies, thank you for joining us. You are an absolute delight, and you're welcome back anytime you want to come on, and we'll see you at World Fantasy.
Yep.
All right. Thank you so much for having us.
It was great. Thanks.
No problem. See you next week, everybody.
The city walls are covered with slime and sludge. It's difficult to find someone to trust. The shout took a hold of us and left us dead inside. Every scratch is agony where the pain will not subside. Oh, Serene, I wished I could have known you. Oh, Serene, I'm sorry that I'm gone. Seed, scripted aeons of pure light. A princess came to offer us a solution to our fight. Oh, Serene, I wish that I could tell you that I'm the Prince of Avalon. To save them. Oh, Serene, I think it's time to tell you that I'm the Prince of Avalon. Oh, Serene, you're the one I wanted all along. Oh, Serene, we must protect the city. Direct the monks and warriors. It's up to us.